now call to order our regular scheduled city council meeting. If you'll please rise and join in our pledge. Sergeant Contreras, will you lead us, please?
I have a heart, great, yeah.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Sergeant. Okay, Madam Clerk, roll call.
Council Agency Authority Member Taylor?
Here.
Council Agency Authority Member Van?
Here.
Council Agency Authority Member Warren?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Vice Chairman Ramirez?
Here.
And Mayor Chairman Shaver?
Here. Okay, special awards and presentations. Actually, we have a presentation tonight. It's going to be a legislative report from Townsend Public Affairs.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Welcome.
City Council, Eric O'Donnell, Townsend Public Affairs, thanks for having me again tonight. This will be very quick as the legislature has been on recess in Sacramento. The month of July, we will be getting off in the second year of the year. But right before they left on recess, they did pass a large budget. Very end of the month there, $380 million, which would be a lot of money. It's steadily going up every year, as we've seen some really good years on our
they going to try to work out the differences and make it into one bill or anything?
Yeah, so only if that's the right. Only one of these can act, right? They both can't be acted at the same time. It's been my understanding. I don't know which one's going to win. I don't know if any of them, frankly, if there's going to be a tough battle. It's not just not a slam dunk by any means when it comes to what we're looking at, especially right after an SB9. Very tough vote last year for some of these legislators. That was not an easy process for anyone. It doesn't matter what side you were on, that was not easy. So it would be very interesting to see, especially in election year, right? Remember how somebody who's more progressive, how they tell me policies to jump. And then moving on to the federal level, just wanted to give a snapshot. I know we've been talking about it, but a snapshot of where we are with the three asks at the federal level for the fiscal year 2023 earmarks. So the Norfolk County Public Safety Collaborative did get included in the outside release appropriations bill. That's really good for $5 million, same as last year. That's for Representative Young Kim, not Representative Longhall, just based on geography. And then Senator Padilla also picked it up at his list for $5 million as well. Both of those would reconcile, so it's not like five, it would be five total, but from both sides for support. So the House side is always a lot quicker than the Senate side. The Senate side likes to take their time on a lot of these things. So the House is very close to being done with their appropriation bills. The Senate has hardly started, to be honest. However, we are hearing from Senator Padilla's office that they will be releasing their list of what was included in the appropriations bill this week. So we'll see if that's Friday night at midnight or what that means, but I'll let you know as soon as I know to see if any of these are included. So moving on to Rails and Trails, Congressman Lowenthal did not included in his asks. We talked about that last time. He did not include that or the Dawson Park Community Center in his asks. And even did Senator Feinstein for asks that were official. However, Senator Padilla again did include the Rails and Trails program in his asks for $2.5 million. So on looking forward to Friday, we will be looking specifically for that Rails and Trails project and that collaborative on the Senate side to see if they're included. At this phase, if they are included, it's only the second year of this new process, so we don't know for sure, but last year, 99.9% of projects that were included at this phase were included in the final adopted budget. So hopefully by this week, we'll have some of the final details. And with that, I'm happy to answer any questions.
How much was allocated for homeless mentally ill? In other words, our transiency population that is mentally ill?
I'd have to go back and get the exact number for that, but $2 million was part of the housing package that they passed this year for a whole year. So I would start at $2 million and then go down to the national specifically the mentally ill.
How's that going to be allocated?
Through existing grant programs, so a lot of the multi-family housing programs, a lot of the veterans housing programs, a lot of programs that are continuously, platform that are every year running out of money.
But nothing for centers like reopening up Costa Mesa, nothing like that. Yeah.
And nothing directly in the budget for that. Which could be a part of an SB 13, but a care for discussion that is happening right now, which is something the county can be interested in. A couple budgets since they're being involved.
What's the word on the budget? The impact on the budget with the recession, anything?
Yeah, that's a great question. And timely, just yesterday, the Department of Finance released their June revenue numbers for the first time, and can't tell you how long they actually came under estimate, about $2 billion. So nothing to freak out about yet, but it is the first time they've missed on the opposite end in a long time. So they usually project low and get high. Now they project a little high, not low for the first time. So we'll see if that's a trend.
Any other questions?
Yeah, real quick, Eric, off topic. Maybe a year or two ago, you told us that Sacramento was considering passing legislation that would force cities to allow for cannabis. I know it passed one and failed the other. Is that dead? Is it still lurking out there?
It's been a while since I've heard of that. It's,
right.
It's not a continuous movement. Those were a couple of bills. I remember them very specifically. One of them tried to tie the amount of cannabis stores you can have to the amount of alcohol and tobacco stores you can have, which is out there. And another one
what's the word out there? I think it's 27, the gambling, online gambling.
Yes, I don't want to misspeak, especially on ballot measures, but I am not as familiar with. But there are two competing ballot measures for gambling, although I will say one of them, if it is 27, will give money back to school communities for homeless and mental services. Don't quote me on that, but one of them does that. The other one does not. Or any one of them has.
What's the mindset of Sacramento on the homeless issue? Are they accepting it, or are they trying to skirt around it, or?
I don't think they're trying to skirt it, to be honest. I think they are very aware of it, and it's you know, the places that have the most power in Sacramento are the urbanized places, and those are the places with homes, right? The Bay Area, LA, those kind of areas have the most power, and they're the ones that are the biggest. So I think they are very aware. They are trying to throw money at the problem, to be honest with you. The last several letters, they've been trying to throw money on it, but I think it's almost like a game of whack-a-mole, right? You get one side down, the other one pops up higher. I think that's what we're dealing with right now, which is why they're talking to council members. See, there before the meeting, that's why the governor's airport proposal is going to be charging right now, because he sees that as a very big piece of the pie puzzle in terms of figuring out how to deal with homelessness. It's supposed to help that, and we're not able to.
Because throwing it on the cities can't afford it to do that much with it, and the state's got to step in somewhere with something big.
Yeah, I agree. And it's not just the big cities, right? It's all cities that are in this perspective. It's not just LA, it's not just San Francisco.
Do you have any, is it the California Housing Department? Is it CHC? Do you have any contacts down there?
We have good contacts.
You know, we're having a heck of a problem with a project that we have going on right now. We actually got it wiped out at one point because took away our redevelopment money. And we're right in the middle of the project. Right now, our costs for acquisition and for relocation are being almost prohibitive with the nonprofits that we're working with. And yet we're still going to be producing over 50% of low and moderate housing when the requirement's 25%. Somebody ought to wake up down there. I know they have a lot of turnover on their staff, but we need to let somebody know that, hey, look at what we've done in Stanton with our room key, home key, low and affordable housing, Jamboree housing, and our conversions of, you know, our motels. And, you know, give us a break. You know, we need a little bit of help here to get that project over the hill. And, you know, it's not like we're trying to do anything sneaky. You know, we're not trying to build more at cost versus low and affordable. And, you know, if they want to come down and look at our books or work with our community development director, let's do it. You know, we got a great attorney that pretty much stabilized everything. But, you know, if we don't get that project, we're going to have 11 acres of nothing in the northeast part of our town where a brand new center is going in. So if you can help us with that, that would be greatly appreciated. Anything else, guys? Okay, Eric, as always, thank you. Really appreciate it. Okay, we'll move on to the consent calendar. All items can take in any one motion. Is there anything from the staff or the public?
No, sir.
Or from you folks. Okay. I would like to pull E, and I'll go ahead and move the balance.
Second.
Roll call.
Councilmember Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember Warren?
Yes.
Councilmember Van?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Ramirez?
Yep.
Mayor Shaver?
Yes. You are moving that microphone to the right person. I'm a little bit concerned about what's going on with the inflation, the economy. And I noticed that a lot of the investments that people are making are starting to go in the tank a little bit, they're dropping. I also noticed that 401ks, what little bit of money I have in my retirement has dropped, you know, a lot of money. So where are we with late what would need to be careful of, and should we probably have a study session in the future so that we can kind of look at what the crystal ball is coming ahead?
Absolutely, Mr. Mayor, thank you. Where are we with LAIFE? Well, most of our portfolio currently is in LAIFE because as our investments have been maturing, we've just been parking them in LAIFE right now. As we prepare to begin having the investment advisor, Chandler Asset Management, who the council approved a contract with in June, to begin executing trades. And they should start executing trades next week. And finance had a kickoff meeting with Chandler a couple of weeks ago. And actually, the inflation is actually helping some of the 1 to 3 year treasuries, federal agency securities, some corporate notes. The interest rates on those are actually better in the inflation market. And our goal with Chandler is actually to be taking a lot of, right now we have about $40 million in LAIFE, a lot of that, and diversifying it, so we will only have maybe about $20 million between the city and the housing authority's LAIFE accounts by the time Chandler is done investing in other parts of the portfolio. We have closed our CAMP account, which is another pool account the city had about $5 million in. We closed that this past month because that pool, one, to diversify, want to take less investments out of the pool, and two, that was performing a lot lower than LAIFE. LAIFE has been performing about, per our last investment report, about 0.6%, kind of low, but actually higher than it was a year ago because of the inflation. So all of that to say, I think we should give Chandler, you know, at least a quarter, a couple of months to start putting investments in the right place, and they're happy to either do a written or a in-person update on the portfolio and their plans. It could do be in a study session or a presentation, whatever the council's pleasure is.
How does it affect our UAL with OSRs and some of the others? Like example, PERS, you know, -7.2. I mean, what's going on in that world?
Well, actually, that is the nice thing about longer term investments like the city's PARS account, where we have our other post employment benefit plan with PARS and with CalPERS, is they're investing not in this volatile market, but they're looking at a 30, 40 year average. So actually, on average, CalPERS has been very close to their 6.75% investment target. So it's not as reactive when you're talking about, you know, short-term investment losses. They're looking at a multi, you know, decade thing. And apropos, the Orange County chapter of California Society of Municipal Finance Officers is having a update from our CalPERS actuary speaking at our Orange County meeting on August 25th. Our accounting manager will be attending that, and we'll be able to share that presentation and give the council an update about the information the actuary has shared with our group at the end of the month.
Yeah, we did pay down our public safety about $500,000 over the, not recently, but a while back. And so it's always, the always thing is if you pay a certain amount of your AL down, UAL down to save you some money, and then all of a sudden, you know, the actuary changes, then it devalues the money that we have. And so I was just curious about that. Are we gonna monitor? You're monitoring that, right?
We are monitoring that. I believe at the last budget workshop, we gave the council a comparison between what the city's UAL was a year ago and what it was this past year. Our next actuarial report, that's, you know, the actuarial reports are like 2 years behind or 1 year behind. So our next one is dated June 30, 2021, and CalPERS should be releasing that to cities by the first week of August. So when we get that information, that will definitely be an update through one of our communications, either the monthly city manager's letter or our Gen Info, and we can let you know what the UAL has done between 2020 and 2021.
And think the thing with that is that, you know, a lot of the agencies that we contract with, you know, we are pretty much at the mercy of the UAL for those. And so that's why I think it's important that we kind of stay on top of it.
Yes, and we just prepaid the whole fiscal year 22-23 employer contribution on July 15th to get a couple of percent of savings by prepaying our annual employee contribution at the beginning of the fiscal year rather than throughout the year. In addition, we did make the additional $50,000 payment for the UAL that the council approved in this budget cycle. So those cash payments all went out in the last week.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. Any questions?
No. Michelle, could you get us the most recent investment policy statement?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Absolutely. And our investment advisor did review it and didn't have any material changes to it. So we don't plan to bring it back to the council unless they want it changed until the next budget cycle. But okay. We can send that to you.
Thank you.
I'll go ahead, move.
Second.
Roll call.
Voice vote would suffice. All in favor?
Yes.
Aye. Opposed? Hearing none, item passes.
Okay, that ends the consent calendar. Public hearings none and unfinished business none. So now we go to new business, 9A. This is a public review of draft local hazard mitigation plan.
Mr. Mayor, this item, before you, we have a representative from Atlas Planning Solutions here to brief on the item.
Just, can I interject for a second? I forgot to ask, was there anybody that bid on a contract that was here tonight that that we might have wanted to talk to?
Mr. Mayor, no.
There was awarded a contract? None, right?
No persons in the audience.
Okay,
the
good. Just checking, thank you. Go ahead.
That a little better?
Oh,
much better. So we worked closely with a group of city staff members from various departments. And the big question is, why are we doing this? Well, this is really about trying to open the door to new funding sources for the city. So the city did receive a grant to prepare this plan through FEMA's Hazard Mitigation Grant Program. It does require a local match, so all of the FEMA grant programs that you will now be eligible for with this plan have a 25% cost share. However, that cost share can be borne out of staff costs, so it does not require that you have a cash match. And one of the things that I like to talk about, because I not only help communities with their hazard mitigation plans, but try to provide services across the gambit of how we address hazards, is where does this plan fit into the bigger picture when it comes to a city like Stanton? So the city has a general plan safety element. It's one of the chapters of your comprehensive plan that really guides development for the community. That really focuses on the bigger picture. It has a lower degree of specificity on what you're trying to accomplish and looks at a much longer timeline. The emergency operation plan is usually that plan that gets enacted when something bad happens. So it's very specific about what city staff need to do in a certain instance, and it's gonna have a lot of specific information, procedures, protocols, et cetera. Well, the hazard mitigation plan fits right in the middle. I like to view it as a strategic plan. You look at it over the next 5 years of how you're going to start to address some of the concerns within the community and potentially mitigate those future risks. Using these potential funding sources. And so when we talk about what hazard mitigation is, it's about sustained actions that can reduce or eliminate long-term risk to life and property. These actions may make the community less vulnerable to natural hazards, and I use the term natural hazards, because when we go through which hazards are covered in the plan, a majority of them are natural hazards, because that's all FEMA will provide funding for through this funding source. And then we really try to create a plan that helps you understand how you're going to reduce your vulnerabilities through the planning process and kind of the future steps that you'll take. So the plan anatomy, it's really kind of four main components. What we want to do is discuss what are the hazards of the community, then analyze what risks you have to those hazards, how we can identify policies, projects that can help to reduce that risk, and then ultimately the direction needed to implement and monitor that progress over that five-year time frame. So like I said, we had a whole team that we worked with. We had a series of meetings working with individuals from the various departments, as well as one or two outside agencies that support city operations. See the list there. And what we did is, I guess the slide's a little bit out of order from the talking points, but what we did is really walk them through this process, because one of the greatest hurdles we find with communities that we help is a lot of times they don't fully understand the value of the plan. So going through the process, having a plan completed, and then putting it on a shelf does not help Stanton. What helps Stanton is making sure that that plan lives on for the next 5 years. And I use this time frame of 5 years. These plans have to be updated periodically. So you are eligible for this funding over a five-year period. You have to then do an update to that plan to maintain your eligibility for the next five-year cycle. So once the city council adopts this plan, which it will come back to, and I'll walk through that schedule shortly, you will have a five-year period, and then you will eventually see this plan come in front of you again for another. But these are the grant programs. It's the Building Resilient Infrastructure Communities program, the Flood Mitigation Assistance Program, and the Hazard Mitigation Grant Program. The two BRIC and FMA programs, those are allocated by Congress every year. So every year there's a line item in the federal budget, certain amount of money is earmarked, and then that money flows down to the states and then to the local jurisdictions. The Hazard Mitigation Grant Program's a little different. Every time a disaster declaration is signed by the president, money is then earmarked under the Hazard Mitigation Grant Program for the area affected. And oftentimes, if Orange County gets hit by a fire, and I'm using a real world example, somewhere in the hills, Stanton doesn't get affected by the fire, it doesn't mean that Stanton may not have the opportunity to go after Hazard Mitigation Grant Program dollars. And several of our clients along the coastline who were not affected by the fires in the 2011 timeframe when Brea, Yorba Linda were hit, they were able to capitalize on those funding sources and actually take on projects in the tune of roughly, I think now in one case, it's nearly $10 million that they've received to do a pump station upgrade for one of their pump stations. That's actually gonna remove, I think, of around 1,500 homes or so out of the floodplain. So this program can work if it's used. That's the challenge we find with a lot of communities, is how do we make sure that you're actually able to use it. Now, what hazards are in your plan? So this is the list: urban fire, drought, extreme heat, climate change, power failure, flooding, dam failure, hazmat release, seismic hazard. And granted, you do see a couple of hazards that don't appear to be natural hazards. We oftentimes will include those because of the connection to natural hazard. One of the great examples is like hazardous materials release. We're not worried about a tank just automatically spewing diesel fuel onto the ground, but right after an earthquake, we're very much concerned about that. So that's one of the ways that we try to bridge some of the concerns with these, what we call human cause hazards, and provide context in these plans. And so the process that we're going through now, we started back in July of last year. We did some stakeholder coordination. We actually came out to your Halloween event, passed out candy, asked for some feedback from community members. The plan is now in front of you today. This is the public review period, which will be open for a couple of weeks. Really hoping to get some feedback, not only from community members, but obviously from council and any other officials. And then from there, once the public review period closes, that's when we finalize the plan. We send up the California Office of Emergency Services, work with them on any potential changes, and then it'll go to FEMA for their final approval, and then it will come back to you for final action. And we hope to have that all completed by September. And let's see, finally, a list of kind of all of the feedback we received. We did an online survey. Unfortunately, we did not get a great amount of response, so hopefully next time we'll see that number pick up. Did some online promotions. We've obviously done tonight, and then the Halloween festival on October 30th, and the plan is out now for review, and happy to take any feedback that you provide. I'll just kind of leave it there. I'll go to the last slide. Jason has been critical in our success. Much kudos to him, as well as many of the other staff members that were really great. So happy to answer any questions.
Okay, before I open the public hearing, is there any questions? Go ahead.
Thank you so much for creating a very detailed document. I know that you guys had a long list of suggestions on what we could do to mitigate these hazards. If you were to put a dollar on all those items, what would you say would cost them?
I couldn't probably give you a full dollar amount. We did a process, and if you look in the hazard mitigation action table that's in the plan, we do provide some relative cost estimates, and that's really working alongside city staff. It would definitely be in the millions of dollars range, but like I said, these may be activities that you would want to do anyways. The nice thing is by having the plan adopted, you now could potentially have 75% of that cost borne by federal government funding sources instead of it coming out of the city. Yes, sir.
Okay, so my astute city manager came up with something that I think is very important, and maybe you can give us some direction. All our storm channels are owned by the County of Orange, and we have nice black fencing up to keep people out of them. But recently, in not only our city but other areas, transient people have been camping along the those channels. And they throw their debris, their trash, their spoiled food, and their defecation and so forth. And my question is if that is supposed to be kept clean, because we always go try to keep what goes to the ocean, how are we going to stop that?
Oh, that's a very good question, and it's not surprising. It actually was a topic that we discussed. So it's obviously a concern for city staff as well. And we actually provided, there is an action that's been identified in the mitigation action plan about cleaning underpasses for those storm drain channels to try to ensure that debris does not block flood waters and create additional hazards. So how do we stop it? I unfortunately don't have a great answer. What we did try to do is give the city some flexibility and a few, hopefully, additional tools to be able to maybe create some programs and some additional funding from the federal government to help support how you try to address some of the issues that I know we discussed as a group.
Yeah, the county's been pretty good, but they can only come out so many times.
Yeah.
If you want to go back a few slides to that drainage system that you have there, that one. I assume that's by Stanton Central Park, is that correct?
That was actually provided by city staff for us right after the rains.
The people that are working on that, that's our city people.
Yeah.
And so now, what are we going to do to protect them from what's coming upstream? Because upstream is a giant county channel that feeds into that. And so that's another consideration. So that's something that I think we need to address. It's so difficult to keep those clean when you have people sleeping in them, sleeping next to them, and then depositing things into them. And I think somebody at the AQMD, the Water Quality Control Board, should be notified about that. And maybe you could help us with that.
Yeah, we can definitely talk with city staff.
Yeah, we have the local branch too. We'd have to go to Sacramento. Okay, any other questions? Okay, I'm going to open the public opportunity on this. Is there anyone that would like to speak on this item or bring any ideas forward or to make some suggestions on the program? Okay, I'll close it and we'll bring it back. And this is a receive and file, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
So do we need to vote on it or not?
I would do it, just a voice vote, just to ensure that we receive and file the presentation and we also conducted.
All right, we'll get a vote to receive and file. Do I have a motion?
I'll move it.
Second.
Roll call.
All in favor?
Yes.
Aye.
Opposed?
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We'll be working with you. Okay, oral communication. This time, members of the public may address all of us, City Council, Successor Agency, Housing Authority, on items within our subject matter jurisdiction, provided that no action can be taken. Is there any requests?
Mr. Mayor, we have none.
Is there any mail?
We have none.
Is there anyone in the audience?
Also have none.
Oh, darn. Okay, we'll now move on to written communications. We have none. Mayor, chairman, council, agency, authority, initiated business. Okay. Committee reports, council, agency, authority, announcements. Go ahead.
So our wonderful Stanton Library across the street is having a back-to-school event on August the 4th, Thursday, from 4 p.m. I invite the public to take part in that. We will have Esteban and Crayon, mascots that the public that the library has present.
Okay, well, while we're doing this, I did get a chance to drive by our movie nights. And Zinni, can you just give us a little briefing on that? How's it going out there in the old recreation world now that you're back in your kingdom?
Thank you, Mayor, and members of the City Council. We are in our fourth week this Friday, a series of four movies. We'll feature Honey, I Shrunk the Kids this Friday at 8 p.m. Craft area, we're going to get to make our own magnifying glass along with the theme, and then we have one more movie next Friday for our big national night out, August 5th. That'll be 6 to 8 p.m. Movie beginning at 8 p.m., Karate Kid, and we are so grateful to our chief and our captain. They're bringing all the big giant toys to show off and enjoy the evening with the community.
Okay, great, thank you. I heard our attendance was up, then went down, but then went back up again, so that's good.
Attendance has been up in most of our events. Thank you for mentioning that, especially our first one, Encanto, was quite a huge turnout, I think, because of the movie and the popularity of it.
Okay, cool. Let all the staff know what a great job they did, because I never heard anything
look
bad.
At this cable bill.
Well, what if I told you that you could get home internet from Verizon?
Verizon does home internet?
Verizon does home internet. It's only $25 a month.
They actually paid me to do that. So if you don't go with Verizon, it's your own fault.
That's right.
Okay. Before we move on, just a quick thought. I did want to maybe get an update on where we are with the blue lights for video surveillance in the community. So I don't know who was handling that. So maybe I know that we had talked about it in the past. So.
You mean the blinking lights?
The blinking lights, yes. The blinking blue lights.
That was...
Who was that?
I'm not sure.
Who's
if that
the guilty
happened at
party?
A council meeting, but we'll definitely get staff to address that.
Jennifer, you have a take on it?
Thank you, Mayor, members of the council. So I believe what you're referring to is the blinking blue lights on Beach Boulevard, which is part of the Anaheim strategy that they've led the way on, part of our Life on Beach team, which is security cameras that they have that they can focus on different areas. They've installed 8 as a pilot program. They've expanded that program now outside their parks, onto beach, and in new locations as well. As part of the collaborative that we've been working with Buena Park, Stanton, and Garden Grove in Anaheim, we do have recommendations from the City of Anaheim for how Stanton could take advantage of that program as well. costs and a partnership that we could be in.
Thank you. I just want to make a comment because I know it's not on the agenda, but the distance from Lincoln to Ball Road is greater than from Ball Road to Garden Grove Boulevard. And I'll leave it at that. So hopefully we can get some information on that. Or maybe it's not, but it's, I'm just saying that they have the whole city of Anaheim. We're just asking on Beach Boulevard down the Garden Grove. So I would really think it's important that we at least consider looking into that in the future. All right, items from the, or any items for a future study session?
Well, one of last time, something about the fireworks, but I don't see it on here, so.
Yes, Councilmember Taylor, we do have a staff report in process for that.
Oh, okay.
So, in bypassing the hot topic, we'll have a staff report creating at your request an ad hoc committee. I believe you and Ms. Ann serving as the members on that committee. That will be brought to you at the next.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Gary. Okay, items from the city attorney.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. I have no items.
Okay. By the way, you want to mention we did have no closed session today, right?
Yes, Mayor, that's correct.
Just for the record, thank you. Okay, items from, okay, before we get items, is this your first meeting?
It is.
Okay. That being said, I want to introduce publicly our new city manager, Hannah Shenhedorn. I got that right, didn't
yes,
I?
You did.
From, formerly from the city of over there somewhere, and we're sure glad she's here. Anyway, go ahead and say a couple words if you will.
Oh, well, I'm just thrilled to be here this evening. Staff has provided me with a great welcome. I've had a great time getting to know the city, the community. Many more faces to meet, many more places to visit, but it's been a great first week and a half, and I look forward to a long, productive tenure here. So thank you so much.
Okay. In fact, she was so overwhelmed with the job she's leaving for vacation next week. So. But anyway, she promised me that she would come back, so we're going to be okay, so don't worry about it. All right, items from the Sheriff's Department.
Okay, good evening, Mr. Mayor and City Council. I'll be covering the June stats for Stanton Police Services. In June, Stanton deputies responded to 1,431 calls for service. That's an average of 47 per day. When not being assigned, you know, those calls for service, deputies observed 510 violations of law and they acted on them appropriately with citations, arrest, and so forth. The deputies made 47 arrests. They had 19 felony bookings, 13 misdemeanor bookings, 9 warrant bookings, 6 DUI bookings, and they issued 37 of the misdemeanor citations. The Stanton Motor Deputy was able to issue 216 traffic citations, which is the fifth, it's the fifth in the county, you know, regards to the 24 motors. So that's a pretty big jump from May. We also, the gang unit, we also arrested a total of 5 documented gang members for various types of crimes. So that was a nice, you know, jump as well. The enforcement for June, we've been very, very, very busy. The type of calls for service have jumped with regards to some of the high profile, you know, crimes for service. So for example, just in June alone, the deputies have handled 1 homicide. There's been 1 rape. There were 9 robberies. They were using different type of weapons for that. 21 violent assaults, 14 burglaries, 13 stolen vehicles, 2 arson arrests. There was 100 thefts. And there was 1 SWAT activation for an assault with a deadly weapon charge. And that's just in the month of June. The current homicide case that made the paper, that's currently open. It's currently under investigation. I can, you know, kind of, you know, talk about, we have leads. We will make that public as soon as we can. There's some other things that come up with that with regards to, as soon as we have suspects, there's some tactical considerations, you know, we have to pay attention to. So once we can, like I said, I'll give the city council, you know, kind of update on that as well. The SWAT activation, that was a success. There was an arrest made. There was no deputies hurt. There was no civilians hurt. A special thank you to the council, you know, for your support during this, and also, you know, to Jim Wren. He opened up his office to my staff, so we were able to use the restroom, tables and chairs and all that good stuff. So, like I said, it was a kind of a teamwork on all levels, which was fantastic. So, thanks, Jim. So I kind of wanted to do something different. I've kind of put some more, kind of in this report. So I kind of wanted to cover, some of the response times. For all priority one calls for service, the time is 4 minutes and 12 seconds. The key for us is under 5 minutes. So we're actually doing pretty well on that. The priority two calls for service is 20 minutes, 36 seconds. And the priority three calls for service are 34 minutes and 11 seconds. Those tend to be a little bit high just because if we're at one call for service and something else comes out, it's gonna be, it's one of those, we have to handle the one call and then we're driving to the next, and then we have to handle that call and then we drive to the next. So that's why those times are just a little bit high. So nothing that's concerning to me at all with regards to those response times. I think the part that I'm very proud about is that's a very low on the priority one call. That's a very low time. So that means, as soon as we get those call for service, they're going right away. So that's good on that.
How does that rank the county average?
We're doing, from what I looked at, some of the South County cities, we're doing really well. I don't have a number for you, but like I said, the 350 to the 425 range is what we kind of shoot for, and so we're definitely in that, which I think is fantastic. So the next kind of piece I want to cover was the homeless work and the outreach. I know that is a hot topic kind of throughout Orange County. And I want to just give some updates, and then I'll cover what we did today. So the Sheriff's Department got funding to hire five new behavioral health deputies that I was kind of shocked about. We have two in North, two in South, and then the fifth one, they're still trying to figure out whether it's going to go to North. I've put our special request in to have it in Stanton, but we'll see how that goes. So that was really good news for us. I'm going to continue to keep my staff kind of focused on being proactive, keep pushing the education piece, keep pushing the piece on we've got all the resources available for them, but at the same time I've ordered the staff to, they've got to enforce the law. Being homeless is not against the law, but the stuff that they do can be. So whether it's citations, stuff goes to warrant, stuff gets booked. There's kind of a change of pace a little bit on, I've seen my staff out there a lot. We're talking to a lot of people right now. In that regards, I'm very happy with what I've seen so far, over the last, I think I've been here 7 weeks now, which I'm pretty excited about. So I think, it's been a nice change of pace, that we're not blowing stuff off. We're actually, getting out of our cars and going and kind of talking to people. I think the other, I think the nice component too is that our relationship, with the public works, folks, I think we're doing a better job with that. I think the communication skills that I think my office, those that work for Jim, I think it's improved. I think we're doing a pretty good job with that. Like I said, I think we talk to each other pretty much every day on the stuff that we can do good, the stuff that hasn't worked in the past, and then that, how we can move forward. So that's, definitely there. So today we put together a homeless outreach, it was a big operation. We came up with it last week. I know you all got, the operation plan that we did. It was nice. I was able to bring in some of our reserve deputies and also our behavioral health deputies. I think the nice part, it was free of charge. There was no cost to the city, just because it actually, it's their working day. We started at 6 this morning. We ended at about 4 this afternoon. We made a total of 51 contacts, which is pretty high in about a 10 hour span. 9 of the 51, they actually accepted services. They're off the street, they're in shelters. One in particular that I wanted to, kind of mention, which I'm extremely proud of, is there was a family of 5, they were living out of a van, and they're off the street. So that's something that, I think the deputies, they actually came back and they were telling, us about it, which I thought was pretty cool. So we also gave out 4 citations, 3 for narcotics and 1 for trespassing. And there were 7 warrant arrests for all different types of crimes. And the bails ranged from $500 to a no bail for robbery. So again, very, very positive day today. We had a lot of, positive feedback, from the deputy sheriffs, a lot of kind of, some positive feedback, just on kind of how they work together as a team. And I think the biggest thing that we saw that was a shock was how many people actually wanted service. That's something that usually doesn't happen. But like I said, it was kind of a big day today. So that was a win for us. I'm just about done. A special thank you, to the city council again. In the third week of June, several of our deputy sheriffs had to, to respond to a call for service. A 20-month-old passed away. This was pretty horrific for the parents, of course. It was extremely difficult, for the deputy sheriffs, especially those who have kids. It was, hard on me as well, because I've had to handle this before, and the whole process of what happens, when the coroner gets there, and the stuff that we have to see and we have to do, is extremely difficult. But like I said, I think the part that we saw, I think from our side, was there was a lot of support from the city council. There was a lot of support from the city staff. Like I said, I was able to make some phone calls, and it was nice. I was able to have a peer support and a mental health, kind of professionals come in and do a big debrief. Due to several staff members actually coming forward saying we need help on this one. The stuff that they saw, and I won't get into details, but it was pretty bad to see. So they were able to do that. The deputies, talked to my, several of our sergeants, and were saying that it was really, really good for us to do that. So there was a lot of support there, and I want to say thank you for that. There are some upgrades going on at the Stanton substation. So Joe, thank you for that. The inside's being painted, and we have some new furniture coming. That's a big morale booster for the deputies, just to see that. Last time that station was painted, I'm not really sure when that was, but like I said, it's being kind of done in phases. So there's a lot of good stuff happening right now, and just to report, it was very well received. The morale is high right now, which is fantastic. There's a lot of good communication, and it kind of leads me into my next point. I'd like to introduce, Sergeant Victor Contreras. He's a new admin sergeant. He started 5 days ago, so he's kind of like me. He's brand new, but he. I've known him for 19 years. We worked in the jails together. We worked in patrol together. We worked in the special enforcement team together. He's an experienced investigator, so he's got the investigative background. And I just kind of want to report that he doesn't know I was going to say this yet, so that's why I'm kind of excited. He brings a wealth of knowledge. He brings a wealth of experience, and he's very humble. He's a nice man. He's a family man. Which is important. And one thing about him that I'm looking forward to is he's a good communicator with staff, and with different personnel. That's something that we needed some work on in my shop. So I think he's going to be a fantastic addition to us. He's also going to help me. We're now going out to businesses. School starting coming up here. I unfortunately don't speak Spanish. He does. That's going to help me out with regards to certain communities. Kind of certain areas to let the city know that we're there for them. We're not against them, and that's something that we have to do. And again, I'm very excited, Vic, to have you with me. So again, I want to introduce you to the city council. For that. Our plan is really to work on our relationship, I think, with the city staff as well as the public, where I think some of the things we've done in the past, we can definitely change. So like I said, that's kind of some updates. I know next month we'll be covering the fireworks. I know that's kind of was a hot topic at the last city council meeting. There's some stuff that I don't know if anybody knows about that I'd like to cover next meeting that can kind of maybe, kind of open some eyes on why it takes so long for us to cite people to book in the evidence and so forth. But I, like I said, I can do that next meeting. So at this time, that concludes my presentation. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions? Yes, go ahead, Carol. We have it. We're ready to pin him, but we don't know his disposition, so I'm sending Rigo down.
I did. Like you, I'm also extremely surprised to hear that 9 out of 51 accepted services. I keep hearing from various folks who work in the community that 90%+ will not accept services despite repeated attempts to engage with them. So can you talk about why it is that you were able to get so many folks to be off the streets?
I think one of the things that we did today, which, and I don't know if it's been done in the past, but when I reached out to the captain of the Behavioral Health Bureau, I said, hey, is there anything that we can, a handout? Can we bring deputies that have all the training, not just pieces of it, but all the training? So we were able to hand out a lot of pamphlets. We were able to bring in deputy sheriffs that had gone through every single part of the training, where they're able to, listening to them talk compared to certain others, it's a big difference. And then kind of the educational piece, I think I was actually kind of shocked today talking to two of them, where they were able to inform me on some case law, some ideas that they had, some ways to kind of talk to them, I think some real world experience. And then also there was, which I know there's been in the past, but there were beds available today. There were 11 beds available by 7 o'clock this morning. That was a huge help for us that we were able to say that. And again, we saw that, I really don't have that great of an answer, but people seemed like they wanted help today more than we've seen in the past. And what that is, I don't know, but we went to the hot spots, we went to certain areas, And I think it was the way that we talked to them and the way that we kind of explained every piece of it, but we also gave them, something that they could look at. And it's a one-page document. It's easy to read. It's not like a packlet, like a big kind of book. It's just a one page. And they were able to see all the different resources. And then we said, here's a bed right now. Like we can take you there right now. And I think that helped a lot as well. I think the last component of this is that, for what we've seen so far, we've done a really good job. It's not my shop; it's actually Jim's shop, with kind of clearing out certain areas, being on top of it. They know who the hawks are. They know who our deputies are. They see us in the field. We were out there and about over the last month. Just me driving around, looking, for coffee or food. I see our guys out there a lot. I see them interacting a lot. I see them making stops all the time. and it's really working on their skill set and the consensual encounters that they're doing. It's like I said before, it's not against the law. And so our you know, staff kind of working on, you know, how to talk to different people. I think that's helping a lot. But I think the training for us, the questions, the different supervisors, you know, who we have, the way we kind of talked about it today, you're not there to arrest everybody. You're there to offer services. You've got to explain. You've got to take the time. If we only get one person, great. The fact that we've got nine is still, I'm still shocked.
Can we expect these outreach operations to happen on a consistent basis, or
is this the last one? No. So I've actually made a decision. I did it this morning. The one thing I've noticed that there was a lot of talk about what we can't do, and I don't really understand that word. I don't like the word no very much either. So we have a lot of resources that the Sheriff's Department can offer free of service to the city. That's part of the contract. That's part of, we have a lot. And so being able to, I think with the different details, you know, that I've worked as a deputy, as a sergeant, as a lieutenant, I can bring some different, you know, some different connections to that to say, hey, look, you know, and I made a one phone call last week. I go, you know what, can you give me two or three behavioral health deputies? I need the help right now. And it was, can we start here? Can we start there? So the goal is, which is already in place, we're going to do it 4 times per year. But that doesn't, it doesn't mean that we just got to stop there. It can be 6 times, it can be 7 times. It's kind of based on what we see. I think the nice part is, again, I have a good relationship, I work well with Jim, and so he can kind of give me that update too. Hey, we're seeing a mass amount of, it's here. It's maybe it's not the whole city, maybe it's just one area. We have the resources for that, we have the personnel for that. The deputy sheriffs right now are very newer, I'm trying to not offend anybody. They're new, so they want to be out there, they want to see stuff, they want to do stuff, and so now's the time for us to kind of capitalize on, you know, some different things that we can do. So as of now, there's going to be 4, and it's just quarterly. But we can always up that as well, because based on today alone, it even shocked our behavioral health captain. He's like, I cannot believe you got 9 to actually take service. What did you do? And maybe you can help us out, you know, some other places. So again, I'm kind of ecstatic here today, especially being my first time that I'm speaking, you know, kind of in front of the city council, that I get to report these, you know, this news.
Fantastic job.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm just going to comment. One of the things that probably also works is the symbiosis between our staff and the Sheriff's Department. If you have a good working relationship, that's going to bring in the success. And I think that, as I remember back after Judge Carter and we started our program, that symbiosis existed. I think it's good because our staff feels comfortable and the deputies feel comfortable. And if they feel comfortable with each other, we're going to be successful. I do know also that education of the deputies is a key role. I think they more than understand the law, which you're being able to share with everybody now, and giving them an opportunity to learn and continue to grow and make them successful. You know, some of the things that I wanted to, if you would please let every deputy know that we have, that I drove around after you finished your thing today, and I had a really tough time finding any transient people in the city. Now, it's been a long time since I said that, and I know all of them, and they weren't anywhere. And you know, every railroad right-of-way was clear, and that was amazing. So railroad, gotta be happy. The other thing too is that it's so nice to go around the town and see our deputies with their lights flashing, even on Beach Boulevard, talking to people. And that hasn't happened since the dinosaurs roamed the planet here. So it's nice to see that we are making positive changes, because we're actually helping people. Yes. But we're also taking care of the job of protecting public safety. And I think that's our role. So I'm very happy about that. I will let you know that, you're probably all aware of this, the whole council supports the feasibility of us developing those tickets that you're writing and getting them prosecuted either by our own attorney or through her in the courts so that your work doesn't go unnoticed and it's going to go unwarranted. We want to support you. Let every deputy know, write those tickets, and we will work very hard to make sure that they are followed through at the court level. So that, I think that's important to you, too.
Yes, sir. And just to note, too, that one thing I found out the hard way, is I asked, where are all the trespass letters that are on file that are current, not from 2012, 13, 14, where like 2022, able to work with Jim, able to work, you know, with the city. And what I found out was a lot of our file letters were on the share drives, like on our computers, so most deputies aren't going to check, they're not going to check that when they're going to calls for service. So what we did was, with my assistant here, which is nice, we created three books. So we now have current books, one's in the briefing room, one's in my office, one's in the sergeant's office, and it's current, you know, kind of the trespass letters. We broke that out today. They're able to look through it. And so some of the places that we didn't know if we could enforce a trespassing, the nice part is we know now. And so that's one thing new that came about that, again, I found some letters in there were from 2016 and 17 and 18. And so we can't do anything with those. But now we have current ones. Like I said, they're updated, which is fantastic. So I'll definitely let the deputy sheriffs know that. Like I said, I think we're making some pretty good strides, and I think it's only going to get better.
Anyway, thank you again, and thank you for your leadership.
Yes, sir.
It's going to make you cry, huh?
No, it means that the red truck doesn't have to go on the railroad right away anymore. Okay, any other business before the council? Okay. I will mention that tomorrow we are honoring a longtime volunteer employee with the Boys and Girls Club. I'll be giving a certificate to him, and we're going to wish him well in his retirement. That being said, everybody drive home safely and have a good evening.